Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging with us on Davin's Den. Joe, Pip, and me hanging out with you. We're not going to do Scamming Scammers tonight because there's so much outrage. So we'll just finish off that. In the future when we do this, it will not be a whole segment. We'll just pick and choose stories. But if you're going to do something new, you might as well go all in.
All in, and there's so much to cover because there's so much of this going on right now.
Yeah, like I thought of this topic a couple of weeks ago, but for us to get everything in order, it took a couple of weeks, and the stories just kept on fucking piling up. It's just ridiculous how much nonsense is out there. But hey, you know what? If there's going to be outrage, you're going to want to bring in the Jews. That's what I always say. If you're going to have outrage, you can't have outrage without Jews.
It's like that old hymn, bringing in the Jews, bringing in the Jews, we will come rejoicing, bringing in the Jews.
I believe that was sung in the desert in Egypt when Pharaoh made us build his pyramids. I believe it was an old Jewish spiritual. I believe that's the historical context of that. This topic is Saturday Night Live did a little jokey joke, as they're wont to do on that comedy show, if you could call it that, and the Jews...
Are you here?
Wow!
You hear us, Lauren Michael?
And the Jews are none to please. So I will play the joke, and then I will play the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu's response. Then I'll read some more of the responses, and then we will weigh in. As we bring in the Jews. Oh, come on. Get over there.
Israel is reporting that they vaccinated half of their population. And I'm going to guess it's the Jewish half.
That's outrageous. That's so outrageous. In fact, I brought vaccines and went especially to the Arab communities, the Arab citizens of Israel, and the vaccinated as many as we can. I must have gone to half a dozen Arab communities already, talked with the mayors there, brought the leaders, brought the doctors there, Arab doctors. This is just outrageous. It's so false. And the interesting thing is, you know, not accidentally, many, many Arab citizens are voting for me because, not only because I brought vaccines for everyone, right, but because I brought peace for everyone.
Sure.
I brought four historic peace agreements that were helped by President Trump's peace team.
He's very Trumpy there. Everybody's outraged, touts his accomplishments and everything. Very, very Trumpy. That's why they got along so well. And also, he's too being investigated for scandals and whatnot. But anyway, all right. So Saturday Night Live on the news program, they did the thing. Israel's vaccinated half the population, and Michael Shea said, and I'm betting it's the Jewish half. And people were not pleased. The joke did pretty well on Saturday Night Live, but apparently there was no Jews in that audience. Jewish groups and Israeli officials on Sunday accused NBC's iconic American late-night variety show Saturday Night Live of spreading anti-Semitism after one of its skits joked that Israel has been vaccinating only its Jewish citizens. But is it a joke? Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Gilad Erdin tweeted, I'm a big fan of humor, except when I'm in the middle of being made fun of. But perpetuating anti-Semitism is just not funny. Nay, nay. Nay, nay, sometimes it is. Your joke is ignorant. Yeah, a lot of comedy is. The fact is that the success of our vaccination drive is exactly because every citizen of Israel, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, is entitled to it. Apologize. Yes, fair enough, but where's the punchline, Erdan? Where's the punchline, Gilead? What you're saying is true, but there's nothing funny about it. Israel Nitzan, who serves as the country's consul general in New York, slammed SNL for spreading anti-Semitic lies and misinformation. Because when you want information on Jews, you go to Saturday Night Live. Fanning the flames just to get a laugh is not only wrong, has he met Otto and George? It's irresponsible. Israel has made the vaccine available for all its entire population equitably, regardless of gender, race, or religion, as long as they're Jews. No, I added that point. A furious American Jewish committee began circulating a petition on Sunday demanding the SNL apologize for the joke. Hey, at least they're not calling for a boycott, so give the Jews credit. They're just asking for an apology, so they're a step above everybody else. I'll give them that. Saturday Night Live's joke isn't just untrue, it's dangerous. Ooh, I like dangerous jokes. A modern twist on a classic anti-Semitic trope that has inspired the mass murder of countless Jews throughout the centuries, the AJC petition said. I think they just called the Saturday Night Live a bunch of hacks. I think that's what they did. They called the writers hacks.
No, I don't even think they're calling them hacks. They're calling them, they're practically calling them terrorists. Jesus.
Well, they called it a classic anti-Semitic trope. So they're saying it's the arms of Jew hating. Eli Cohen. Eli Cohen, what's the deal with Jews? Anyway, all right. Eli Cohenim, the deputy special envoy to combat anti-Semitism in the Trump administration, tweeted, "Under the Oslo Accords, the Palestinian Authority is responsible for all health and social welfare needs. Contact SNL, NBC, and demand they apologize for their modern-day blood libel against Jews." A blood libel, I tell you. Pro-Israel advocacy group Stand With Us launched an apology demanding campaign as well. This may have been an uninformed comment lacking an understanding of Israel's diverse population, or worse, a blood libel and a lie dressed up and played for laughs. Israel's healthcare system is available and equal to all and an example of coexistence. Those who allege otherwise tend to be extremist groups who have allegedly relished this joke on social media. Or who've already, excuse me, not allegedly. The SNL libel has already been used to promote anti-Semitic words and deeds. Saturday Night Live and NBC should apologize and disown this dangerous and misleading assertion. The Committee for Accuracy of Middle East Reporting and Analysis, CAMRA, also called NBC to apologize for an anti-Semitic segment. CAMRA Israel's director Tamar Sternthal urged NBC and SNL to apologize for the blatant anti-Semitic smear and to make clear that Israel is providing equal access to the coronavirus vaccine for its population. All right, you guys get the fucking gist. There's a lot of people complaining. All right.
Next story.
What? you guys get it. Enough. All right. Here's the thing. Do I think the joke? First of all, I think the joke was funny. I think it was a fine joke. It wasn't a bad joke. Do I think it's anti-Semitic? No. And if you're a hate group and you're using Saturday Night Live, you're all out of fucking material. I mean, seriously, if you're going to Saturday Night Live to make your fucking hateful YouTube propaganda, yuck. Now, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with these other organizations demanding an apology. I understand they don't understand comedy. I don't have a problem with them demanding apology. They're not calling for a boycott. I could do without the leader of a fucking country, and I said it under Trump, and I'm saying it again. I could do with him commenting on nonsense. Mr. Prime Minister, what do you think about the Saturday Night Live sketch? I'm not going to comment on a comedy show. All I could tell you is, you know, we're vaccinating everybody. You know, the Arab population, the Christian population, everybody's getting vaccinated. That's what I want to talk about. That's what my administration has accomplished. I don't care about a TV show. That's what he should have said, but he couldn't fucking refuse. I don't think, considering these people don't really have a sense of humor, because if you have to say, I have a sense of humor, you don't have a fucking sense of humor.
Yeah, you're about to follow it up with something humorless.
Yes.
Yeah, my take on the joke, maybe, you know, and it's my ignorance of the population of Israel, is I laugh like hell because it's like, you know, they're going to be, vaccinating the Jewish half of the population. I thought it was mostly Jews in Israel. You know, so I laugh like hell.
Well, I mean, listen, the
Israel is still, you know, is mostly Jews. So it's like Israel going to be mostly Jews, you know, so I laugh like hell on that.
Listen.
It is mostly Jews.
Yes, there are
statistically,
it's a majority Jews. I mean, there are Arabs, there are Christians. I mean, but who is going to Saturday Night Live for truth telling? I mean, listen, they fucking lampooned Donald Trump mercilessly for 4 years. Donald Trump was not the character Alec Baldwin portrayed him to be. I would say Donald Trump was funnier, but that's not the point. The point was they did satire. They made jokes, and Donald Trump complained because he's a bitch. And why anybody who complains about comedy is a fucking bitch. Don't laugh. But again, I have no problem with these organizations asking for or demanding an apology. That's what they do. I got no problem with that. They're not demanding a boycott, so I give them credit. I just don't want my heads of state rolling around in this fucking muck. Should Saturday Night Live apologize? No. And here's why. Because if you apologize for this joke, then you're going to have to apologize for the next joke, and the next joke, and the next joke. And the show's already unfunny as it is. How unfunny can we make it if we're going to have to issue a press release after every fucking episode?
Right? Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Netanyahu was worried about a comedy show, you know, a skit. I mean, for Christ's sake, there's missiles coming over the border every other day. He's worried about Saturday Night Live. You know?
Thank you.
Ridiculous. Davin, you also made a comment before about politicians. And Trump is right in here. Well, Trump's a narcissist, so it's, you know. Besides,
so's Netanyahu.
He was a politician. They don't understand comedy. They don't have a comedy mind or don't understand the breakdown of comedy where they can laugh it off. Netanyahu should have handled it the way you said. You know, look, I realize it's a comedy show. I'm not going to goof. I'm not going to get upset at a comedy show, but what I will tell you is that we are vaccinating all of our people, Jews, Christians, Muslims, whatever we have, to the best extent that we can. And leave it at that and say it if you're asked on how you feel. Don't release a statement. If they come to you and go, Prime Minister, how do you feel about this? Answer it just the way I said, just the way you said. But don't grandstand it. Politicians love to grandstand. They love to grant. That's what they do. They're grandstanding over something that was literally a second. It's ridiculous.
I will say, I will bring to the audience's attention, Joe frequently says I am right, after pontificating at the top of the show that I'm often wrong but just saying right. From Joe's own words, he often says I'm right. We'll move on, but I'm just pointing that out to the listener. Yeah, I mean, listen.
And as I have said in the 10 years of doing this show, I take it by a case.
But you often say I'm right. You often agree with me.
But like I said, there was a lot of conflict at the beginning of the show. But right, you know, at this juncture, no, we're standing on point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's fine. And what's worse about fucking Netanyahu commenting on? It's not even a comedy show in his country. I mean, dude, it's fucking Saturday Night Live in America. Who the fuck cares?
But like I said before, you got missiles flying over this fucking border every other day. You're worried about Saturday Night Live.
Well, Joe, to be fair, I find those missiles very anti-Semitic.
Yeah, you're good. They're intended to be that.
Well, then I understand, and I will demand an apology.
If you ask the people that launched them, they'll wholeheartedly agree.
All right, well, then. I guess I won't be getting an apology then.
it's like trying to say that anything that you say, like any negative commentary about Israel, is anti-Semitic. Not so. I mean, the United States is predominantly a Christian country because there are mostly Christians here. And it was founded mostly by Christians. But does that mean that every time somebody makes a comment about the United States, it's anti-Christian? No, it doesn't. So it's like you have to, you know, pick your battles here. There are much more terrible anti-Semitic things really going on.
Yes.
So calm yourself.
Good
it's
point.
Satire.
Pick your battles. All right, let's.
I think the joke was, the way I took it, it was, you know, out of ignorance, you figure it's, well, it is mostly Jewish states. So when he says, well, they're going to have, you know, they're going to inoculate the country, the Jewish half, you know, it's funny because you associate Israel being Jewish.
Again.
So right.
Jewish, you know,
again.
It's funny. I mean, it's the whole damn place.
I understand it was during the news segment of Saturday Night Live, but if you're coming to Saturday Night Live for your news, you're already lost. I mean, seriously. I mean, enough. I mean, I just gave Fox News fucking hell for not reporting the news. You're worse yet if you're going to Saturday Night Live for your fucking news. It's a comedy
really?
Show.
They're right of the aisle leaning. Really? Saturday Night Live since day fucking one.
You mean left of the aisle. Left of the aisle.
With Nixon. Yeah. I mean, they've been pro-liberal.
All right. Let's move on to The Muppet Show. Disney Plus is warning viewers that some episodes of The Muppet Show feature negative depictions and mistreatment of people or cultures. No Muppets were mistreated, though. I will have you know, no Muppets were mistreated. Just people and cultures. The variety show, which ran for 120 episodes in the 1970s and features puppet characters interacting with celebrity guests, was added to Disney's streaming service last week. Viewers are being shown the warning label before episodes. It says, the show includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures, adding that these stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. An episode hosted by Johnny Cash in which the country star performs in front of the U.S. flag and the Confederate battle flag was among the installments flagged by the service. Another features folk star Joan Baez doing an Indian accent while opening to an episode with Kenny Rogers Show's Muppets dressed in Arab garb drilling for oil. You got to remember, we were not so on friendly terms with the Arabs in the 70s and early 80s with the oil embargo and everything. So it's really not that insensitive when you think about it for the time period. Not sure how insensitive it is now either. But anyway, I digress. The warning says that rather than removing the episodes, Disney wants to acknowledge their harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future. Because I'll tell you what, I always want to talk about what I just learned after watching the fucking Muppet Show. I'll tell you one thing. That Miss Piggy, very abusive. I think there's a domestic abuse issue in between Piggy and Kermit. And I don't feel like Kermit is empowered enough to speak out. I don't feel Kermit's being heard. I'll have you know. But I digress. Can you imagine if Kermit the Frog was smacking around Miss Piggy the way that bitch is smacking around everybody else? I mean, really, why did we allow that?
If there was anybody that deserved to get a smack, it's that bitch.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Seriously, how does every episode you could put a warning on, because she's very abusive. She's short-tempered, and she's just smacking the shit out of it. Now, the one thing the Muppets did do well is, They made a voluptuous pig, attractive and all. You know, they did not fat shame that little ham hock. They made her.
They did not. They made her to be an object of desire.
Yeah. So that was very progressive.
Well.
Yeah, yes.
That little ham hock.
My little bacon bit. The service already.
It could never be like something like a pet name. You're my little ham hock.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was thinking that. I'm like, if anybody came up to me, it was cute when Davin said it about Miss Piggy. If somebody came up to me and was trying to buy me a drink and said, hey, my little ham hock, would you like a drink?
You ain't getting laid that night.
No, you know how you slipped that in?
And you're going to wear that drink.
You know how you slipped that in? Here's how you slip that in, kids. Lesson learned here. When Pip comes up to pet your dog, you go, you like dogs, don't you, my little ham hock? That's what you do. You just, and it all depends on the tone, how you say it.
Do you have my bail money, Kevin? Do you have it ready? Because that would be an offense worth slamming somebody
but,
over.
But Pip, it's all the tone. It's all the tone. Anyway, all right.
Nope. A robot could say that to me, and I'm taking a screwdriver to his ass.
All right, a little sausage sweetie it is. Let's move on. The service already uses the disclaimer on several other films and programs, including the Aristocats, not the Aristocrats, different fucking ending.
I read that. I'm like, yeah, that should have a disclaimer on it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why is Mickey doing that to Minnie? Oh, my God. Which uses characters of East Asian... You just got that? Okay. Which uses characters of East Asian people, and Dumbo, which features a musical number that references minstrel shows. It most certainly does. The Muppet Show was hugely popular in both the United States and the United Kingdom, where it was filmed. It was added to Disney Plus on Friday as the new service nears 100 million subscribers. A step further, two whole episodes from the final season were pulled, one due to music copyright by Brooke Shields, and the other as it featured English writer of the show, Chris Langham. He was arrested for possession of indecent images of children in 2005. Yeah, it might be time to get rid of the little perv. But now here comes the outrage. Apparently, the Muppets have now been canceled, tweeted Donald Trump Jr. There's nothing these psychos won't destroy. Liberalism is a disease, not understanding what the word canceled means. I added that. I don't remember the Muppets ever being offensive. Here we are again with cancel culture, Fox News contributor Joe Koch exclaimed on Fox and Friends. During a later interview with frequent guest Senator Tom Cotton, who has made stopping cancel culture one of his pet issues. Fox and Friends co-host Steve Ducey asked the Arkansas Republican and potential 224 presidential candidate to weigh in. Total Mickey Mouse move, guys. Huddle-a, huddle-a, ho, Cotton quipped, before making a clunky throat-clearing transition about why the Muppets news is actually an extremely serious problem. Is it? Seriously, Disney is putting these kinds of disclaimers on the Muppets, not removing them from Disney Plus because they don't want to lose the revenue from subscribers. But at the same time, last year, they thank an agency of the Chinese Communist Party that's responsible for concentration camps for helping them film a movie. It's outrageous and appalling. Two fucking different issues, kids. Co-host Brian Kilmeade then jumped in sarcastically asking, do you think we will have a Muppets commission to look at this? Would it be bipartisan? It'd be by Muppet, you motherfucker. Cotton, meanwhile, noted that it's not just the Muppets bringing up the fact that Disney Plus has added similar disclaimers to other content on its platform. All this centered to complain while Disney still wants $12.99 a month. By the way, you get three channels. You get Hulu and ESPN Plus along with Disney Plus. So again, know your facts, dummy. Which actually is not bad when you think about HBO Max is $15 a month. I know because I have both. Over the past few months, Disney Plus has added warnings to several older movies like Peter Pan and Dumbo, saying, hey, never trust an elephant with big ears, due to culturally and racially insensitive depictions contained within them. The film themselves, meanwhile, remain unedited and available for full viewing of the service. From their so-called controversy would continue to get hourly coverage on Fox programming. Both Fox News and its sister network, Fox Business, aired multiple segments on the disclaimer, with Fox Business News host Stuart Varney exclaiming at one point, not even the Muppets are safe from the woke mob. Not even! First they came for our Muppets, and then they came for our anime. When will it stop? He incredulously added, do you believe that? Over on American Newsroom, meanwhile, the Chiron read, cancel culture comes for the Muppet Show. While anchor Bill Hemmer wondered aloud if Disney went after Miss Piggy at all and if she was on the list. While saying that her preferences was for Disney to add the disclaimer rather than canceling the show, Fox News host Carly Shimka said she also understood why people are wondering when it will end because Disney has become so darn political. All right, let me explain something. I can't believe I have to get to the end of the ship. If you cancel something, it means it's no longer available. It does not mean you put a warning on it. Every TV show you watch these days has a warning. I watch shit and it'll say, you know, smoking's in this, language is in this, sexual. Everything has a warning now. And I remember back in the day when we were kids. Well, I was a kid. You guys were probably in your 20s. You know, we had Tipper Gore. It was at the PMRC about the labeling of albums, music albums. You know, at the time it was a big deal. It fucking seems quaint now. I really don't have a problem with warning shit for kids. Second of all, nobody is subscribing to Disney for the Muppet Show. Nobody's paying that fee for the fucking Muppet Show. And you can't bring it back out of mothballs and cancel it at the same time. You can't do both things. Nobody was clamoring for the Muppet Show. Nobody's canceling the Muppet Show. They're just saying, listen, these things are offensive. I don't think kids would watch the Muppet Show. I watched it as a kid. But I don't think kids today would watch that version. First of all, they don't know who those celebrities are. Most of them are dead anyway. And I don't think it would hold their attention, the older versions of the Muppet Show. So essentially, the warnings are for adults. That's what essentially. I don't think I could get my kid to sit there and watch it, to be honest. I don't have a problem.
Probably not.
No.
Wait, I watched it. I loved it.
I loved it. Me and my buddy Frank, every Wednesday night or whatever, we had come.
How old were you, though?
And watch the Muppet Show.
So this was on from 74 or 76 to 81. So how old were you guys?
During that period, I was like 15, 16.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think it appeals more, would have appealed more to kids of that age than me. Like, I liked it because it was puppets, you know.
Because, like I said, when I was 15 or 16, my buddy Frank lived up the street. He's like, what are you doing, man? Nothing. Come on up, hang out, watch the Muppet Show. And, you know, I mean, we were 15 or 16, 17 when we watched that. 18, you know?
Yeah, I was a kid.
I love the band.
Yes. But
oh, the band rules. Animal was great.
Animal was great.
Is that I think if you want to put a disclaimer on there, you know, that's their business. But I think it's a little bit overreaching. I mean, that it includes negative depictions or mistreatment of people or cultures. They weren't that adamant about it. Also, they also had a complaint about Joan Baez doing a satire on the thing. Joan Baez was one of the most outspoken people. She was a folk singer, one of the most outspoken people against the Vietnam War and for peace during the 60s. Joan Baez is the person that is the least person you'd ever think about doing anything racist. She was all about peace.
Well, it was a different time, Joe. Acceptance. It was a different time. Like if you put Joan Baez in today's culture, she wouldn't have done it. But back then, there was nothing wrong. You know.
Right. And so you really have, you know, basically we were showing something, that was the norm back then, which might not be, which would be different to today's standards. If you want to put the disclaimer in there, that's fine. But I think they're too heavy-handed in the wording of the disclaimer that's given in this story.
You know how much they probably went back and forth with legal on how to fucking word this thing?
This is legal all over. This is legal. I mean, illegal. This is all legal, obviously.
And you know what? If you're Disney, why wouldn't you go over the top? Better to be safe than sorry. If you're going to put the disclaimer on there, fucking warn about anything, because you don't want to get letters. But don't complain. And people always write letters. They've always written letters. You know, the Smothers Brothers, it had letters written about them. The goddamn Smothers Brothers. So people are always outraged. But again, we see Fox News drumming this up. They're coming for us. They're canceling us. No! Disney brought it out of mothballs. They're showing it to people. Nobody on the left gave a shit about this. Nobody ever talked about, I'll tell you what, that Fozzie the Bear, real fucking problem with him. Real problem with Fozzie. And I'll tell you what, I think Gonzo was a little lecherous with those chickens. Not for nothing. Nobody was talking about
this. Nobody was.
Nobody was talking about this shit.
But do you think, in regards to the episodes that are in question, that anybody has complained about
no.
them?
No. I don't think so.
And nobody would.
I don't. Probably not.
I think it's them bowing to the cancel culture.
I don't look at it as bowing. I look at it as a little bit more nuanced. I look at it as covering your ass, because you just don't want... Because it's better to be safe than sorry. You don't want to get these letters. Because here's the problem. If you get the letters and then you put the warning, now you're bowing. Where if you just do it ahead of time, you've just made the decision internally with no pressure from anybody else. You don't have to issue an apology. It's just there. But Fox News, like I said, they have nothing. There's a popular Democratic president pushing a popular policy. They got nothing now. So they're just trying to drum up this outrage. I am sure there are things to criticize the Biden administration on, which I'd be interested in hearing. If they were legitimate, I'd be interested in entertaining those conversations and those shows. But they're not doing that. And I don't think it's because there's nothing to criticize. I think it's because this shit's easy. Let's keep our audience as stupid and as angry as possible. It works for us. That's what I think.
Now, wait a second. Wait a second. There's that mangy, bitey dog of his. Let's go nuts.
Yeah, you know, I was going to put that in. Joe, did you see this? It was on... I think it was Newsmax, and they were commenting on Joe Biden's older dog. The dog's a 13-year-old German Shepherd, which is a pretty old age for a German Shepherd. Big dogs do not always live that long, and the German Shepherd looks fine. But they were like denigrating the German Shepherd's looks and how it's not like a presidential dog. Is this what we're on? I mean, I didn't put it in here because it wasn't general outrage, but I did see it. Is this what they're down to? Commenting on the president's fucking dog?
Well, the dog should wag its tail to the soldier when it's coming off Marine One.
Valid critique, Joe. Valid critique. It'd be disrespectful not to. And I'll tell you another thing. I'll give you a step further. And you know what? Stick your snout in the Marine's crotch. He's been standing there all day. He deserves a sniff.
Yeah.
But I mean,
as long as he keeps his teeth to himself.
But seriously, the right media is failing miserably as a news entity. Like I said, I am willing to entertain very real critiques of the Biden administration. But here's the thing. The left is critiquing the Biden administration. Like, we have a lot of children down at the border, unaccompanied children at the border. We don't know where to put them. Fox News could take that approach and go, listen, how come you're not doing anything with it? You said you would do better with it. You're not. It's just as bad. This, that, the other. They're not doing that, though. They're covering an old dog. They're covering Dr. Seuss. They're covering the Muppets. And worse yet, the politicians are talking about the Muppets and Dr. Seuss. You only hear liberal politicians criticizing Biden. That's why...
Oh, Do you think that now you got to notice that the upper management at Fox News is taking more of a liberal stance or more of
I have not noticed that.
I'm sorry?
I think that's compared to OANN and Newsmax, and I think that's because they called Arizona before Donald Trump wanted them to. But honestly, I used to be able to watch Fox News. It is unwatchable.
Do you think the reason at least on the border issue and stuff like that, is that that they want maybe upper management or wants to stay away from policy that might not look that favorable to Biden? I don't know. Maybe because they're starting to change
No, because they want to keep their audience dumb and angry. Remember, Donald Trump said, I like the uneducated. There is nothing, that was one of the most truthful things he said. Because as we have broken down these stories, often it's not what they are portrayed on the right-wing media, like the Coca-Cola thing. You had to do some research to find it, go, oh, it wasn't a Coke thing, it was a LinkedIn thing, and LinkedIn took it down. So if you want to be outraged at LinkedIn. But boycott Coke is sexier. The Dr. Seuss thing, it wasn't the woke mob, it was Seuss. You know, the Muppets. If the liberals weren't clamoring for it, Disney said it, and they're not canceling the Muppets. They're the ones that are bringing the Muppets out of retirement. I mean... Yeah. But they want to keep their.
But you got to admit, a year and a half ago, have we ever seen anything with the cancel culture the way we have now?
I don't think there's a cancel culture, Joe. I think there's an outrage machine. We've always seen people try to be. I told you on Facebook, the Dixie Chicks. They wanted to cancel the Dixie Chicks in the 90s. We've always had this. People have always written letters to TV shows. The Smothers Brothers in the 60s. We're just aware of it now more because of social media and because the 24-hour news. This shit has always been out there, and it's nonsense for the most part. I said, the two examples that I said are not quite as nonsensical for me. The Cherokee Nation and the Jews being outraged to a degree, asking for an apology because they did not go to the boycott. If they went to the boycott, my fangs would have been in their tuchas. But because they asked for an apology and they don't understand comedy, fine. I don't agree with it, but fine. But this is intentional. This is intentional to divide us. This is intentional to make conservatives or people who watch Fox think the liberals want to get everything you love and they're going to take it all away from you and divide us. That's all they have. That's why I've told you time and again, the current GOP is trash. I'm waiting for policy. I'm waiting for something you want to push. I'm waiting for valid critiques of Joe Biden. I'm waiting for all that shit. And if you go on the conservative news stations, you don't get it. I got to get it from the left. I'm getting it on CNN, which I don't think is left. I consider them more central, but center left, and MSNBC when you get the progressives on there. The progressive senators and congressmen, they're the ones criticizing Joe Biden, saying we don't like this one. You're not getting it from the right because they're just trying to create anger. And from the politicians, where is the GOP's policy? Where is their desire to lead? Where is their desire to improve Americans' life? It's not there. They just want us angry about fucking Muppets, about goddamn Muppets, children's books, dolls. You know, we don't agree politically, but we all think there's bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, there are much bigger problems in the world, and there's much bigger problems in this country. I would like to, if we're going to disagree about things, like you're saying, disagree about policy, or disagree about legislation, or disagree about the way legislation is written, and, you know, let's talk about, you know, the things that we know that are wrong, that, you know, many people have pointed out. You know, let's talk about the filibuster. What is its point? What... Should it be there or shouldn't it?
Sure.
Let's talk about the, our election laws, finance laws, things like that, things that really matter. Why are we talking about Fozzie?
Well, he's a very funny bear.
He is.
All right, Joe, last word. Well, maybe last word. Comment, and then hopefully we'll move on.
I do feel that basically that Fox News would be going to the core of their audience, but I do feel that the cancel culture is being a lot more prevalent and needs, you know, even though we have the stories here, these are tangible stories, and there's going to be a tipping point to this.
But what we're seeing is, first of all, like I said, I think the cancel culture is like the war on Christmas is a myth. But what we've seen throughout this is there's no one ideology with the quote unquote cancel culture. It's like I don't like that you're doing, whether it be left, right, or fucking millennials and Generation Z. It's always I don't like. It has nothing to do with ideology. I don't agree with this, so therefore we should not have it. That's what this is. And if your default is, well, it's racist, but we should keep it, that's not a great fallback position either. You know, just to keep shit because it's old is not a great fallback position. But I do feel the middle ground is what Disney's doing. Put the warning on this shit. You can watch it, not watch it. It's there for you. Don't worry about it. But that wouldn't make headlines, I guess.
There you go. You answered the question. Yeah.
All right, let's, the last one, which was added today, because if you're going to go with Muppets, then you got to go to Warner Brothers, I guess. And I know there's something with Pepe Le Pew, but that was just like an article. There was an article by a columnist in the New York Times about Pepe Le Pew being like rapey, but it was just, but there's not a movement, there's not an outrage over this, so I'm not covering it. But long story short, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Pepe Le Pew was rapey. I don't know if things change. I don't think in today's culture we need a rapey skunk. We don't need a rapey governor. We didn't need a rapey president. I don't think we need rapey shit. But whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, if this was being illustrated today, I'd be like, what is your fucking problem?
Correct.
I mean, in the time it was in, I guess I thought that, I mean, you know, the way people and culture have looked at the proper ways or the less rapey ways to pursue a romantic interest, you know, now we look at that and go, God, that's stalkery, that's rapey, we're seeing that's really not the way to go about it. But in its time, I mean, I actually noticed that, and I was like, God, that's kind of gross that he just keeps, you know, grabbing her and kissing her, and ew, like, I kind of personalize that, but
well, there you go.
That's me.
But that's interesting that in its time, because I never knew that in its time you had an adverse opinion to it. Because I, you know, as a boy, I just go, oh, look at that rascal. You know, I didn't know. Now I look at it and go, what the fuck is wrong with that skunk? No means no, mister. But it's interesting that you as a little female child go, you had an adverse reaction to that character. That's interesting.
I actually didn't feel it as a child, but when I got to be of dating age, I had some adverse situations of my own, then I would look at that and go, ew, 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 you know? But then again, when I was a child, I wanted to marry Bugs Bunny because I thought he was really funny. I was heartbroken to realize that he wasn't real.
Well, well, Mr. Helix will always be number two in your heart.
Yes.
I don't know. Listen, I don't think you'd create a rapey character like that today. You know?
No, but it does hit home if you've had situations like that with somebody touching you or kissing you and it's unwanted. And I've had like a few too many of those circumstances, and I don't know very many women who haven't. You just go, ew, he's very cringeworthy.
Yeah, that's fair.
I tell you, I was watching a Pepe Le Pew cartoon came on over the weekend, and I was watching it. And I'm like, yeah, I go, I'm surprised it took so long for them to catch up with him already, you know? And,
yeah.
And, you know, and like I said, you could put a disclaimer on it, but, you know, at least with that, because the Me Too movement has been so prevalent, and to see the, especially with the governor now, you know, having these allegations, to watch this skunk grab a woman, you know, I think...
Well, no, Joe. The skunk was grabbing a cartoon cat. It wasn't grabbing a... I mean, we're still talking about cartoons, but your point is noted.
No cat. a female cat, and wouldn't let her go and stuff like that. So, yeah, Pepe Le Pew would have to go to HR nowadays.
Yeah!
But he couldn't run for governor.
No, he could!
You know,
no!
Pepe Le Pew, I did not know what he was doing, you know?
But you know what's interesting? And again, I have not really looked into the Le Pew thing. It's not on the show prep. But it's kind of interesting that the French Americans aren't outraged by Pepe Le Pew. Because this was a French skunk. And what they're really saying is French people are leches and rapey. That's really, if you really want to read into it, if that's your thing,
yeah.
You know, maybe the French have a reason. Maybe they should demand an apology.
Well, it was probably based on a French stereotype with their love of, you know, how they were lovers with women and
yes.
stuff like that. So you had Pepe Le Pew, obviously, you know, and that he sees, this, you know, the woman that's a skunk and he, you know, he wants to get laid.
All right, so now that leads us to the next one. Lola Bunny. Lola fucking Bunny. Entertainment Weekly unveiled the first look at LeBron James' Space Jam, A New Legacy, and Lola Bunny, love interest of Bugs Bunny and sole female member of the Toon Squad, unless you count cheerleader Granny, and why wouldn't you? If you didn't, that's just ageism, looks a little different. In the original movie from 1996, the anthropomorphic Bunny had an hourglass figure and work short shorts and a crop top. At the time of the original film's release, animator Tony Cervone said, "We kind of pumped her up more in the feminine attributes department." How many fucking female rabbits do you look with like double Ds? What's fucking wrong with you, you creep? Director Malcolm D. Lee of the sequel said he was caught off guard by the original Space Jam's very sexualized depiction of the character. This is 2021, he said. It's important to reflect the authenticity of strong, capable female characters. The reworked Lola Bunny is less voluptuous and has swapped the crop top and booty shorts for more practical compression shorts and a baggier uniform. People are mad about this, with some arguing that a less hot cartoon rabbit is somehow a reflection of PC culture run amok. As one Twitter user wrote, "I hate this new age censorship. Original Lola is so damn fine." Oh my God.
Who's waiting into this? Hey, I jerk off to this. Leave it alone.
You really?
Well, Joe, I do, and you're correct. As others pointed out, the problem with the original Lola wasn't that she had boobs, it was the way the other characters treated her because of those boobs. The idea that the shape of someone's body, even if that someone is a fictional anthropomorphic rabbit, would dictate whether or not they are worthy of being taken seriously or inherently viewed as a sex object is antiquated. Listen, you know what? I don't have a problem with desexualizing Lola Rabbit, but I do think the better point is, yeah, can't this female rabbit Lola just be on the fucking team without like everybody losing their shit, without their eyes popping out of their head? I mean, if you think about it, it's insulting to men that the stereotype of every male when presented with like a hot woman is like "Aruga," and the eyes come out and the tongue unfurls. Like, we can't keep our shit together if there's an attractive cartoon and.
Yeah, but you gotta understand something. You're talking about something that's farce, okay? And a reaction like that is supposed to be funny, and a reaction like that is farce. And you have a license to be that way when it's something like, you know, when it's farce.
No. I still my days in college when I saw an attractive woman, and it was a problem because I caught hepatitis a few times. My tongue would literally unfurl from my mouth and roll onto the dirty barroom floor. I got quite ill with my tongue doing that. So it's not farce, Joe.
Like I said, you're real. You're not a cartoon. Sometimes I think you are, but this is a cartoon character, and you're reacting. It's farce. You know, it's farce. You laugh at that.
Well, yeah, you don't unfurl your tongue like one of those little party horns, you know, with the eyes. That would be much more disconcerting than even normal reactions from leches.
but Anthony Cumia and I have a running joke. If we get like some like disturbing news or like some out of the blue news, we have a thing like on the Flintstones where they would have that thing, you know, the horn. So if we hear some news that's fucked up, we'll just do the whole bit. It's like, I'm getting, you know, we're reacting real life to something on a cartoon that was farce. This is farce.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't, what type of creep cares that the new version of Lola Rabbit doesn't have big tits? I mean, really, how much do you jerk off? Never mind, I know. You're the... I mean, listen, I think it's a fine move by Looney Tunes. I don't think we need a sexy rabbit.
You want to know something? A lot of the stories that we've done tonight. I think that people were, you know, people had a valid point on a lot of stuff. In this last story, yeah, really, get a life. Who gives a shit?
I don't know.
Yeah, really. I mean, there's, you know, it's supposed to be for kids. Why are you over-sexualizing the rabbit?
Well, I will say this. I don't think Space Jam is just for kids. I think that's geared for everybody because it is real action. You do have LeBron James, who's very popular with people of all ages. So it's not your typical cartoon. So I think all the more reason to not make this a sexy rabbit. Listen, we don't...
I never watched Porky the Pig cartoons. And you can also complain because he's got his stutter. But I never complained that he should have a pair of pants on because with his piggly tail I could see his asshole. And I don't want to watch it during breakfast.
Is that more of a lunch thing for you, Joe? You like to see his ass? Is that more of a lunch thing for you?
Yeah, sure.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to keep her with the, you know, the big tatas and the tight outfit, well, then how about we see some you know, tight pants on the male figures? Come on.
You know what I said? You know what I've said? I would feel a lot better about this whole thing if I could see Yosemite Sam's bulge in the front.
Yes.
You varmint, get down there. I got a hard one.
Ooh, you varmint, I got a hard one that says it's in Texas.
Really?
Why don't... looks like you got a run. Ooh, I'm going to fuck you, rabbit.
Cock season. Bad season. Cock season. Bad season. Cock season. Bad season. Cock season. Cock season.
Believe me, I used to do a film. I was so happy when I first started about it. Fuck, they could curse. Fuck you, rabbit! Yeah, fuck you, rabbit, you know?
Well, it's always cock season, but besides that, it's like, you know, apparently it's always boob season, too. But we can calm down with, you know, some of that. I mean, Lisa's saying that, and then there's Roger and Jessica Rabbit. You know, people enjoyed that, but I don't think that they were supposed to be, you know, for kids at all.
No, that, well, see, but that's, they were a married couple, so you assume that they have some rabbit-type relations. They were married, you know, and they were adults. And shit, her whole character was Hollywood sex pot. That was a character in that time in Hollywood. You know, these mm-hmm. We don't really make that with our sexy actresses now. I mean, you know, maybe like Megan Fox was back in the day, but even so, she was like an action hero. She was in the Transformers. We don't really sexualize, I mean, very sexy women, but their whole persona is not sex pot. Jessica Rabbit was a takeoff on a specific type of character. Lola Rabbit is just supposed to be a bunny looking to shoot a three from outside. That's all Lola's doing. She's just trying to help contribute kids. She just wants to beat the aliens in a game of basketball. Why are we having these issues?
Right. I mean, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of that one athlete girl who, was she a pole vaulter?
Yeah, that picture. Yeah, that picture.
And they took a picture of her that, you know, she's wearing like the little sports bra and stuff, and people went completely bananas because she was attractive. And it's like, she's a major athlete. Will you stop going off on her cup size? Can you keep it in your pants for a second, for fuck's sake. I mean, you know.
All right, now that we've done all the PC stuff and we've kowtowed to the spot, let's be fucking real. Lola Rabbit is a zilch in the Looney Tunes world of fucking cartoons. Lola Rabbit needs to fucking push up her tits, shut the fuck up, and be happy she wants to be there. If the boss Bugs Bunny wants to fucking go around, shut up, Lola, take one for the team. You keep the fucking boss happy. I don't need fucking Lola having opinions now. Listen, we're off the record. I'm just fucking saying.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because it's all about tits, right? That's all it is.
No, according to Joe, it's also about pig ass. All right. Let's get out of here. This show is going on long enough. But I think we have learned everybody can be outraged over nonsense. There's nothing more American than being angry over bullshit instead of just going on with your goddamn day and petting the dog. Nothing. All right. We would like to thank Sensei Russ Ferdico for his continued support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. And Laugh at Home Comedy. Nothing can compare to seeing a live stand-up comedy show in person. The feel of a group of strangers having a shared experience. The performer talking directly to you. And, of course, you letting the performer know how much you are enjoying them. Laugh at Home Comedy brings that to you in the comfort of your own home or business. Whether it's one of our comedy club-style shows or a private event for you and your friends or coworkers, Laugh at Home Comedy will bring the live comedy experience to you in the comfort of your own home. Go to laughathomecomedy.com. Call us 551-404-3094. Brand new video on the website from the last show. Check it out. You will like it. Joe, you doing anything?
Not this week. Next week. I'll push it next week.
All right. Well, kids, we covered a lot. Next week we will do the scamming scammers. I think this is a very good segment that I think will give us lots of material going forward. I expect plenty of more outrage at the machine. All right. So let's get out of here. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on.